those voices sound like. It is. It's the space cacti.
Flying through space, going who knows where. With a barrel cactus and a prickly pear. What do you want to write today? What do you want to say? Are you happy? Are you blue? Maybe green and yellow too. No matter who you are, there's so many words in your heart. So grab a pen and paper, let's start.
We're looking at my living room, where you can see my brown, comfy chair right up front. Beside the chair, a poem titled World Building starts filling the screen. In the background, you can see my taupe walls covered in artwork and posters in all different colors and sizes, and my purple bookshelf filled with books. In the bottom left corner is my friend Miriam. She's a white lady with gray-brown hair. Miriam is going to be communicating with sign. She'll be translating the words I'm saying into American Sign Language, or ASL. Soon, you can see me come on screen. I'm a white man with brown hair and a brown beard. Today, I'm wearing blue glasses, my blue poet beanie, a denim long sleeve shirt, and a black t-shirt. Oh, and my name is Donnie. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. World building. Building a brand new world takes a lot of make-believe, but I bet you can do it. You seem like a make-believer to me. Can you find stories in the stars? Catch one falling for a wish? Congratulations, you're hired, our new planet designer. Now, which one will you pick? Rain planet? Wind planet? Planet summer? Planet snow? Or a planet with a climate no meteorologist knows? Are there new plants, new creatures, new dinosaurs or birds? Though, if we could skip the pigeons, I really think you'd be preferred. How about transportation? Will a plain old spaceship do? Or if we want to get around, should we invent something new? Building a brand new world? It takes a lot of make-believe. But I'm certain you can do it. You're a make-believer, like me. Today, let's write about world building. And that might sound like a lot, but it's really just make-believe. Have you ever made believe? Maybe you and some friends pretended you were superheroes when you played outside. Or maybe you've used some toys to recreate a scene from your favorite movie. Or maybe you have built a world or designed a game in something like Minecraft or Roblox. If you've done any of those, then you're already a pro. So hopefully, I can just give you a few new ideas. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's sing hello. We'll sing hello to me, Donnie. Hello to Miriam. And then hello everyone, to you, and all our friends who are watching. Ready to sing?
Yeah!
Hello, Donnie. Hello, Donnie. Hello, Donnie. We're glad you came today. Hello to Miriam. Hello, Miriam. Hello, Miriam. Hello, Miriam. We're glad you came today. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. We're glad you came today. Beautiful singing, everyone.
Hello.
Wait.
Everybody.
There are two new voices. Listen.
Everybody. Hello.
It sounds like, but no, it couldn't be. Could it? I'm going to take my telescope and look up into space. Those voices sound like it is. It's the space cacti.
Two small cacti sit in a white rocket ship. Up front is Beryl Cactus, a smaller, round cactus with a purple flower on top of her head. Next to Beryl Cactus is Prickly Pear, a taller, prickly pear cactus with three arms. Yellow stars fly past the ship as it starts getting smaller and smaller. Then we see green words appear. The words are lyrics to their song. Sing along.
Flying through space, going who knows where, with a barrel cactus and a prickly pear. Space
cacti.
And mission control, Dr. Panda Bear, helps them out when they get scared.
Space cacti.
Put on a suit and pack some air. Blast off.
The words Planet Sourdough fill the screen in fun green letters while stars shoot past. It was a normal day for the space cacti. They were flying through the stars in their white rocket ship. Then, a transmission from Mission Control comes through. At Mission Control, Dr. Panda, a small panda bear, stands in front of a map of space and a chalkboard. He talks to the space cacti through his white earpod radio.
Space cacti. Come in, space cacti. Go ahead, Mission Control. Space cacti. We need you to set a course for Kitchen Planet. Something mysterious is growing there.
What is it?
It's called sourdough. It seems to be a mixture of flour and water.
Huh. And it's alive?
It appears to be, but we won't know for sure until we study it.
Roger that.
Will do, Mission Control.
The ship blasts off into space. When we next see the ship, it's hovering down to land on a black countertop. The cacti get out of the ship, and Prickly holds a small gray device, looking down at it as they walk.
Are we close?
I think so. It says we should be right
here.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Look.
As Prickly looks up, a giant white blob shows up on screen, taking up much of the counter in front of the two cacti.
Wow, it's kind of gross.
Prickly, don't be rude.
Sorry.
Prickly pulls out a container that looks like a bottle cap, and the cacti put a sample of sourdough into it, then head back to the ship. They set up a campsite outside of their ship with blue sleeping bags around their pots and a small campfire.
Prickly.
What's up, Beryl?
Do you think it's hungry?
What?
Dr. Panda said the sourdough might be alive, so shouldn't we give it something to eat?
Well, I guess.
Prickly gets two containers, one water, one flour, and pours them onto the sourdough. Late at night, Beryl and Prickly are asleep at their camp, and noises wake Beryl up.
Flour!
Who's there?
Feed flour. Feed flour.
Oh, Prickly, it's you. What are you doing up?
Then, Beryl sees the sourdough has grown and it's covered Prickly's sleeping bag.
Oh, my guava! Prickly, the sourdough has grown.
Prickly turns on his friend and sees the small purple flower growing out of her head.
Flower.
Prickly, it's me, Beryl. You're acting a little scary.
Feed Beryl.
Oh, no thanks, I'm not hungry.
Feed Beryl to sourdough.
Prickly starts moving slowly towards Beryl, who runs away into the ship. We're back in my living room, and I'm standing in front of one of my taupe walls. Don't worry too much about the space cacti. They've gotten out of tougher situations,
I'm sure they'll be all right. We'll check back up on them later, too. Right now, I want to make sure we're okay. We just got back from space. I want us to do a little bit of movement to make sure we're okay in the Earth's gravity again. The first thing I want us to do is catch a falling star. Now, a falling star, or a shooting star, is something you might make a wish on if it was shooting across the sky. But catch a falling star is a way we can move our bodies. I cut two stars out of some yellow construction paper, and I put tape on the back. I'm gonna take my big star, put it down on the floor, right between my feet, and then I'm gonna take my other star, my smaller one, and turn around, line it up, and put it as high up as I can reach, right above my head. So that when I stand, it makes a line between the two. Now, if you want to do this with me today, you can get an adult's help and find something that you can tape, or you can just follow along with the movements. My back is to the wall, and I'm gonna reach up, 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 nice and slow, with both my arms and my eyes, and try to find that star. Then, oh, I lost my poet beanie. And I'm gonna go down, down, down to the star on the floor between my feet. And then nice and slowly, I'm gonna go back up. Yeah, this might be a hard one to keep my poet beanie on for, huh? All right, I'll leave it off for now. Hopefully no good ideas get out. You ready to try with me?
Yeah!
Great. We'll do three times catch a falling star. Ready? Here comes our first one. Up, up, up. Nice and slow with our arms and our eyes. And then down. Nice and slow to that bottom star. And then back up. One. Here comes two. Up, up, up. Our arms and our eyes together, try to find that star. And then down. Nice and slow to that bottom star. And then back up to start. Last one, number three. Up, 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 nice and slowly. Using our arms and eyes together, catch that star. All right, now back down, all the way down. Oh, I caught that bottom one too. Now back up to start. That felt good. I think to finish, let's do one big dragon breath to really kind of ground ourselves back on Earth. Do you remember what a dragon breath is? It's when you take a deep breath in and roar on the exhale. Ready to try it all together?
Yeah!
Perfect. One big dragon breath to finish our movements. Uh-oh, it looks like that dragon breath is sending you to dragon.
The dragon breath swirls and twirls and brings you to dragon, a small green dragon with gray horns, waiting for you in front of his library full of books.
Ah, impeccable timing. Why, I've just finished reading The Foundation Trilogy by Isaac Asimov. It has a black and white checkerboard pattern on it with this red orb floating above it. Science fiction books, or sci-fi as the genre is more widely known, always have really wild, fantastical, very artistic covers. You might say the covers are unparalleled. Get it? Like, parallel, yes, right. Well, people have been creating science fiction for a very long time. And even before books, people used to look to the stars They would create patterns or shapes out of them, called constellations, often in the form of important animals or objects or people. My favorite is the Greek constellation Draco, the dragon. The story is quite epic. Literally, it's an epic. It involves the 12 labors of Hercules, or Heracles to the Greeks, which... Yes, we'll save that for another time. Well, authors like Isaac Asimov and science fiction authors writing today create worlds, some which look like ours and some which look very different from ours. Like, for example, Kitchen Planet. Kitchen Planet seems very much like a regular kitchen with a sink and a countertop. But the sourdough there is quite dangerous. Sourdough here on Earth is harmless and really leads to some yummy things. Here, let me find a cookbook I have, which I think will further elaborate. Yes, right. Well, before I let you go, let me at least leave you with one of my favorite Isaac Asimov quotes. He said, "Writing to me is simply thinking through my fingers." And with that, I'll send you back to Donnie.
The dragon breath swirls and twirls across the screen and brings you back to my living room, where I'm waiting in my comfy brown chair.
Welcome back. I imagine Dragon told you his favorite Isaac Asimov quote. "Writing to me is simply thinking through my fingers." I really love that idea too. Thinking through our fingers. I have a way we can do that. We're gonna finger paint. Come on, I'll meet you at my table.
Looking down at my wooden table, you can see my hands, some craft paint in all different colors, white notebook paper, a little piece of cardboard that I'm using like an easel, you know, where artists put their colors or mix their colors together, and then some paper towel and a little cup of water. To start making my planet, I'm gonna use this color blue. I love how fresh it is. It reminds me of a nice cup of fresh water. So I'm just gonna dip a little bit on my finger and start tracing out a circle. I want my planet to be a circle, but you can feel free to make yours any kind of shape you want. I'm also putting mine just kind of at the top of my paper, using the middle binder hole up. We're gonna come back to this after it dries, so I wanna make sure I leave room to do a little bit of writing. So now that my shape is traced, I need to color it in. I'm gonna keep using this color blue for now because I love how fresh it feels, like fresh water or fresh air. But you can feel free to mix any colors you want. You could add some bright colors like this neon pink and neon green. You could add in some dark colors like a black or a deep red. I think I want to add some kind of stormy grays. You can see I started mixing, but I think this color needed a little more white. So I'm going to finish mixing my black and white paint together to make a gray to add into my planet. Great. So now I'm just gonna leave this on my table and let it dry.
While our paint dries, let's check back in on the space cacti.
When we last left the cacti, Beryl had sprinted into the ship. We find her there now, desperately trying to contact Dr. Panda.
Dr. Panda! Dr. Panda!
The transmission gets through, and Dr. Panda answers from Mission Control. Beryl, what's wrong?
The sourdough is alive!
Are you sure?
We fed it, and it grew, and it took over Prickly's brain, and now Prickly is trying to feed me to it, and I don't know what to do!
Fascinating. The mixture of flour and water must cause some reaction. Or of course, bacteria, which somehow infiltrated Prickly's brain. Feed Beryl.
Oh, he's getting closer.
Oh, yes, right. Your best chance is to wash it out of him.
How?
There's a waterfall 2 clicks east. If he'll follow you there, you can get him to fall in.
Will that hurt him?
Feed Beryl! No. Probably not. No, it'll just clean him up.
Okay.
Beryl heads out of the ship and makes her way towards the waterfall.
Ooh, I hope this works.
Beryl runs in front of the waterfall, a big silver sink with the water running. She goes on the far side, leaving a drop between her and Prickly.
Prickly?
Prickly slowly approaches. Feed Beryl! Feed Beryl! Then falls into the sink. We next see Beryl with a rope standing on the side of the sink where Prickly fell in.
Prickly! Prickly!
Prickly begins climbing up the rope.
Prickly, I'm glad you're okay.
Beryl, what happened? Why am I all wet?
Well, the sourdough is alive, so after we fed it...
You know, actually, I don't want to know. Let's just get off this planet.
I agree.
The cacti walk back to their ship, but all they can see is a big mound of sourdough. Hey, Beryl.
Yeah?
Is that where our ship used to be?
Yeah. Right under all that sourdough.
Great.
I told you the cacti would be okay. Now, let's do one more catch a falling star, just to make sure that we're okay again back here on Earth. I'm standing in front of my living room wall, with a star above my head, and my other star still down by the floor between my feet. I decided to keep my poet beanie off for this one. Here we go. Up, up, up with our eyes and our arms. Try to catch that star up over your head. And down, nice and slow. Try to catch that star that's down on the floor. And then back up to where we started. That felt nice. All right, I'm gonna get my poet beanie back on, and then I'll meet you at the table to finish up our world building.
We're looking down my wooden table, where you can see my hands, my paper with my world painted, and a black marker. To get started, let's give our planets names. The name of my planet is going to be Ocean Planet, because of that fresh, watery blue color I used. Next, what's the weather? On Ocean Planet, it's rainy all the time. I've decided that those gray blobs I added are storms hovering over the ocean. How about creatures? What lives on your planet? You don't have to name them all, but let's name a few. It could be a plant, an animal, a person like you and me. Here on Ocean Planet, we have giant seahorses. Seahorses on Earth are pretty tiny, but on Ocean Planet, because there's so much room, the seahorses are the size of whales. Finally, let's talk about transportation. How do the creatures or people on your planet get around? On Ocean Planet, people like you and me who live there, they have to travel around by sailboat. Let me introduce Ocean Planet. On Ocean Planet, it's rainy all the time. There are creatures like giant seahorses, and the people who live there, they travel by sailboat.
We're looking back at my living room, where I'm sitting in my comfy brown chair. Building a brand new world takes a lot of make-believe, but I bet you can do it. You seem like a make-believer to me. Can you find stories in the stars? Catch one falling for a wish? Congratulations, you're hired, our new planet designer. Now, which one will you pick? Rain planet, wind planet, planet summer, planet snow, or a planet with a climate no meteorologist knows? Are there new plants, new creatures, new dinosaurs or birds? Though, if we could skip the pigeons, I really think you'd be preferred. How about transportation? Will a plain old spaceship do? Or if we want to get around, should we invent something new? Building a brand new world? It takes a lot of make-believe. But I'm certain you can do it. You're a make-believer, like me. Thanks so much for building a world with me today. I'm really excited to hear and read all the different stories that come out of your planet. Unless you have a time machine, it's time for us to say goodbye. But we can sing all together one last time.
Goodbye, Donnie. Goodbye, Donnie. Goodbye, Donnie. We'll see you again next time. Goodbye to Miriam. Goodbye, Miriam. Goodbye, Miriam. Goodbye, Miriam. We'll see you again next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you again next time.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you again next time.
Let's Write About is fiscally sponsored by Accessible Festivals, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to making music and recreation accessible to all abilities. And it's made possible by viewers like you. Head to DonnieWelchPoetry.com to learn more and find out how you can support the show.